Welcome back, children of the revolution. This is your host, Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., here on Ace of Spades, PDX, doing the podcast educational program, What You're Not Listening To, and we're nearing the end of June, my God. Can you believe the year's almost half over? Oh my, wow. And on this show, actually it's going to be a two-part show. We're going to have one this week, and in a few days we'll have part two. And we're going to be looking back 25 years. Yes, some of you may not even been born. To the year 1994, and that was the year that alternative music became mainstream. By the early 1990s, a war was raging in music. Like every other major stylistic shift, there was a great deal of animosity from those swept aside. But this time seemed different. Typically, the new voices whose time in the sun are happening say very little about the haters who vilified them. But the time for being nice was long gone. Alternative rock musicians were often blacklisted by major and mainstream media companies, and the artists who were part of the major label money-go-round were all too happy to constantly deride those in the indie community as losers and people with no musicianship. And then in 1991, along came Nirvana with Nevermind, a landmark LP that proved that there was room for other voices, that these voices would not be silenced, and the people behind these voices weren't taking any more of your BS. These artists gave misfits of all stripes a type of personal pride and a self-reliant ammunition to stand up against bullies and haters. However, it didn't take long for mainstream media to recognize this. In just 2 years, many former indie bands made the jump to major labels with no loss of quality. By 1994, it seemed an amazing must-have album or two was coming out weekly. This was the year that indie culture and alternative rock became marketing catchphrases. But for a brief, shining moment, it was glorious, magical, and breathtaking. And we're going to be kicking off this week's show, the first of the two parts, with an album. It was a third by this band, third release, I should say. And they're from my home state of California. They're from up a little farther north than I'm from originally in Los Angeles. They're from the East Bay in the San Francisco area. And this was their major label debut and really kind of took everyone by surprise, like kind of power punk amazingness. There was a lot of guitars on the radio in 1994. Let me just throw that out at you. This is from the album Dookie. This is Green Day with Welcome to Paradise, and we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Welcome to paradise. A gunshot rings out at the station. Another urchin slaps and left dead on his own. It makes me wonder why I'm still here. But some strange dreams and it's now feeling like I am. And I'm never gonna go. Welcome to Welcome to paradise.
Thank you. you feel better. The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is alright. We'll be right back. body will never be safe from harm. Still feel your hair, black ribbons of corn. Touch my skin to keep me home. Oh, if only you come back to me. Feel it at my side. I'm there in your
And welcome back, children of the revolution, to What You're Not Listening To, the audio educational music show here on Ace of Spades PDX. And I'm still your host, Ben Brown Jr. Hey, where's the time gone, right? Speaking of where the time has gone this year, we're looking back on this show 25 years ago to 1994, when the impossible happened, where all this kind of underground alternative thing that had been going on for some time finally was just everywhere, and you just could not get away from it. And for better or for worse. So, you know what? Let's recap what we've heard in the first half of our show, shall we? And let me just throw this at you before anyone gets really upset. There's only an hour to do this show. I like to keep it like that. We're not going to get everything in here. So that's why we're having a part two next week. And, you know, if you guys want to hear more of this from 1994, let us know. And I'm happy to do it for you. Kicked it all off with Welcome to Paradise by Green Day from the album Dookie. And the song after that was Tori Amos from her second solo album, Under the Pink, and that was God. And it was technically her third album altogether. She had been in a band called Why Can't Tori Read. It was kind of a, synth-pop band. And not bad songs, but she's pretty much distancing herself from it. After that was one of the most intense records to come out of 1994 from the album The Downward Spiral. That was Nine Inch Nails with March of the Pigs. And this is the album that catapulted them to fame after really spending the previous 3 years a lot of gigging, a lot of touring, and a lot of just trying to push their debut album. And, of course, the usual label problems kind of delayed The Downward Spiral's release on Interscope. But, my God, what a record that was. Following that was a band that had started up in the early 1980s, believe it or not, and were starting to have some of their big success in the 1990s. That was from the album Experimental Jet Set Trash and No Star by Sonic Youth, and that was Starfield Road. And up until their final album, that was their highest charting album on the Billboard 200. Following that was from the second solo album by former Pixies singer Frank Black, and that was from Teenager of the Year, a personal favorite of mine, and a very Dylan-esque song there, Headache. Following that was a song that, well, you know, did Video Kill the Radio Star? It's a great song regardless. It's also an amazing video. Buddy Holly from the debut album by Weezer, also known as the Blue Album. And following that was from the album Grace, the only studio album by the one and only Jeff Buckley. He released his debut in that year. The song was called Mojo Pin, and it was kind of a slow starter, and he really, really worked hard at touring literally the world to get the word out. And slowly but surely, word started getting out. Was recognized as one of the great voices. He died in 1997, drowning outside of his adopted home of Memphis, Tennessee. And the song we just heard from their fourth album really brought them back in a very big way, going all the way to number one like their debut did. That was the Beastie Boys with the song Sabotage from Ill Communication. And my God, you just, I think there must be some kind of law. You just have to blast that song wherever you go. You just have to. And we're going to be kicking off the second part of our show, Children of the Revolution, with a band that were kind of going head-to-head with Oasis back in the UK. Really didn't catch on here. This is from the Park Life itself, so the name of this track that we're going to be playing, from Blur. And their next album, I thought, really kind of set them apart from all the other bands, the Britpop bands at the time called Different Class, but this is still an amazing record. Turn it up. Hope you're enjoying this. It sounds like this song is just pure sunshine. We'll see you just before the grand finale.
Confidence is a preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as. A morning suit can be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as. John Scott Brewer's group, he gets intimidated by the dirty pigeons. They love a bit of him. Who's that gut lord marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
All the people. Hand in hand, hand in
except on Wednesdays when I get rudely awakened by the dustman. I put my trousers on, have a cup of tea, and I think about leaving the house. I feed the pigeons, I sometimes feed the sparrows too. It gives me a sense of enormous well-being. And then I'm happy for the rest of the day, safe in the knowledge there will always be a bit of my heart devoted to it.
Yeah. the lost and found. Now you get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You come, ah, oh. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You come down the distance and you get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You get the ankles and I'll get the wrist. You come down to this.
Saving all your food, stamps and putting down the trailer park. Yo, only gas chamber, cause one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in a bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine nose job, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So
And welcome back, Children of the Revolution, and anyone else who might be listening to What You're Not Listening To, here on Ace of Spades PDX, the educational audio anthology podcast that doesn't suck, right? I mean, seriously, I mean, some of these shows just, they'll spend a half an hour talking about a 3-minute song, I'm like, just play the damn song, right? So, on this show, we're looking at 1994, the year alternative became mainstream. Let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our hour, and then we'll surprise you with what is coming up next week. Kicked it all off with Park Life, title track to that album by Blur. Following that was Gutless, an album track from Live Through This by Hole, led by the one and only Courtney Love. And I can't even imagine what kind of year 1994 was for Miss Courtney Love. Earlier in the year, her husband, Kurt Cobain of Nirvana, had tried to kill himself in Italy. And then he was actually successful back in April. Unfortunately, his suicide came the weekend before all sorts of press coverage had happened and the release of Hole's breakthrough album, Live Through This. Additionally, in July of 1994, Christine Pfaff, the bass player for Hole, also passed away. Not the greatest of years for some people. After that was from the album American Thighs, from the debut album by Veruca Salt from Chicago, and that was Seether. And it took them some time to capitalize on this track. It was never released as an official CD single here, but it was a major hit overseas and a big rock radio hit on alternative radio. Their second album would be called Eight Arms to Hold You, which was the original title to Help by the Beatles. After that was from the debut album by Korn, called Korn, and that was Blind. In addition to alternative rock, 1994 also birthed alternative metal. And it would become more and more popular before the end of the decade, culminating in 1999 and some horrible things that happened at the Woodstock Festival that year. Following that was some debut album by Soul Coughing, Ruby Vroom, and Down to This, where they actually interpolate, believe this or not, Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree by the Andrews Sisters, Patty, Maxine, and Laverne. Yes, I promise we will do a show about them. And even though they were on a pseudo major label, they were on Slash, which was distributed at Warner Brothers at that time. Still, one of the most unique records to come out of 1994, and still sounds fresh to this day. And the song we just heard, well, if you know, I guess every movement has that song, you know, like in 1967 with the San Francisco scene, it was Somebody to Love, whatever, right? This was the alternative rock song that really just really cemented what 1994 was. From the album Mellow Gold, his third and first on a major label, that was Beck, and that was Loser, which was kind of a way of owning things the way, you know, years ago it used to be considered offensive to call somebody queer. I self-identify as queer. I've kind of taken that back, and that's exactly what Losers did. Was Beck's, still is Beck's single biggest charted hit on the Billboard Hot 100. And as all this amazing stuff was going on, should have been enough, right? No, unfortunately, the biggest music story of the year happened on April 5th, and we didn't find out about it until April 8th. It was the day that Kurt Cobain was found in a house that he had owned in the Seattle area of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and it was a suicide letter. It was just kind of took the wind out of everything. I remember it just, wow, because Kurt was, and not trying to put people on pedestals, but damn it, he was the man who did it. He gave so many of us hope. So it was just a really strange and eerie time. If you have questions, feedback, love letters, and requests are always welcome. Drop us a line here on the blog page. And love to you all, everyone. This has been Brown Jr. And next week, we will be featuring a live soundboard recording from 1994 of the Smashing Pumpkins from the Pink Pop Festival. Again, love to you all. This is Where Did You Sleep Last Night from MTV Unplugged by Nirvana.
I will shiver the whole night through.